Welcome to Look Ahead Radio and Viewpoints Around the World. My name is Tom Arms, and in a moment I'll be joined by my old friend Lockwood Phillips. This week we're talking about Trump, European problems with immigration, and a painting panda in Vienna. I hope you enjoy. Thanks very much for listening.
Welcome to Look Ahead Radio with Tom Arms and Lockwood Phillips.
This evening, we've literally turned the world upside down. We've got joining us live from London, England, Tom Arms with our regular weekly program, Viewpoints Around the World, with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. He is live with us this evening, just before falling off to sleep. It's some 5 hours ahead there, so it's 10:08 there in London, and we have joining us from London, Tom Arms. Tom, good evening to you.
Oh, yes, I just wake up here. It's so late.
Yeah. And before we get into the activities of the day and a lot of topics to discuss, curious as to the weather there in London.
Oh, it's been lovely British rain for the last few days. Mm-hmm. But the temperature's set to rise up into the 80s again tomorrow and on through the weekend and next week.
Is this typical for this time of year?
Well, it's typical to have rain any time of year in Britain.
Yeah,
it's not typical to have it quite so warm as it's going to be at the end of this week. The grass has certainly turned green again. We did go through a brown spell. And so the lawn is looking much nicer, and the flowers are looking lovely, and the blackberries and the fruit. They're having a real bumper crop when it comes to fruit, but all the other vegetables, the farmers are complaining, are dying because of the heat. And in fact, the prices of vegetables in the shops are supposed to go up between 10 and 20% this autumn.
Now, is any of that a result of the dispute related to Brexit?
No, it's related to the weather.
Okay. The other aspect of this, before we move on to other items to discuss this afternoon, and again, Tom Arms of Look Ahead, LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio, Viewpoints Around the World with us this evening live. Tom, the droughts. Now, I know the northern regions of Great Britain were suffering from significant droughts. What's the condition there?
Oh, it's much better now.
Okay.
We've had a fair amount of rain. Not torrential rain. There has been some heavy rain, but, you know, good, strong, very clean British rain.
All right. Let's move on to some items to discuss this afternoon. And I think I really want to start off with, we're going to get into the more political aspects of funerals here in a few moments, talking about John McCain. But I'm curious about the expressions and coverage of Aretha Franklin's passing. And was there a great deal of coverage
of that?
Oh,
yes, there was a great deal of coverage. She was very popular over here.
Okay.
The song Respect, I think, earned her a lot of respect.
Uh-huh.
and she got quite a bit of coverage, you know, full page obituaries in the newspapers, things mm-hmm. like that, on the front page. There was some reference to, the fact that Donald Trump's comments were not quite as fulsome as some of the others.
Okay.
Some political capital was made of that, as I think it was in the States. But generally speaking, there's a lot of praise for Aretha Franklin as a singer.
All right.
And a woman.
Let's talk about another famous American and of course recent passing of Senator John McCain. What was the coverage of that? How is it being covered?
He got huge coverage. Absolutely massive coverage. I mean, he has a lot. He is respected enormously over here.
Really?
I think for his time in Vietnam as a prisoner of war, for the values which he represented, the fact that he's clearly a man who was value driven. And that is very much appreciated over here. Not so much what people believe in, but the fact that they are driven by their values and values which other people can accept and believe in themselves.
But Tom, was he well received and revered during his lifetime there in Europe? I mean, it's been interesting because
a lot of people liked him as a candidate.
Okay.
They did not like, they thought he made a huge mistake, and they really did not like Sarah Palin.
All right. And of course he, and
they couldn't understand why he chose Sarah Palin as a running mate.
Well, later, and of course, after the loss in the election, he himself questioned his decision in that regard. But some of us sort of look at that as a spoiler's approach. He chose it. He should have hung with it. But there is some discussion about that. All right, I'll tell you what. We're going to take a quick break with you, Tom. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us this evening. This portion of the program is live, so if you have a question for our guest, you're welcome to call in. 252 area code 247-7282. And, of course, the 910 area code of our listening audience, 353-4674. I'm looking at one story here that I want to get his observation on. A lot of Europeans think the beginning of the end of Trump is beginning. The beginning of the end is beginning. Okay, we'll get to that in just a moment with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio here on Viewpoints.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. He's live with us this evening from London, England. I know we've got a caller standing by. We're going to get to you in a moment, Ernie. Just to remind you, the numbers, if you'd like to join us, 252 area code 247-7282. That's 247-7282. 910 area code 353-4674. That's 353-4674. Tom, before we get to the topic, and I want to talk about this, and that is, of course, the Europeans' view of what's happening here in the States, particularly in relationship to President Trump. But before we do that, let's go to Ernie in Emerald Isle. Ernie, good evening to you. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lockwood. Just a real quick comment on John McCain.
Uh-huh.
I sympathize and I have a lot of respect for the way he conducted himself when he was in prison of war. Otherwise, not.
Right.
And I'll let it go at that. I could tell you a few things that you probably know as a Navy veteran, but
right.
I won't go there right now. We really wanted to address the Trump thing.
Okay,
it's not the beginning of the end. It's basically the beginning of more beginning.
Right.
All these scandals, they have a very short shelf life.
They do. They
Who
do.
Who talks about Omarosa? Nobody. Right. Now they're talking about Cohen.
No, Stormy Daniels. Yeah, you know you're...
Yeah, her too. These stories have...
Tell Richard Nixon that.
Short legs or shelf life. I don't know what you guys in journalism call it, but...
Yeah, it just
jumps from one thing to another, and meanwhile, this guy is accomplishing stuff, and I'm sorry that your guest there, or whatever he is, you know, he has a European view of Trump,
right.
And that's fine.
But
you know what? It doesn't mean anything to people like me who support him.
Understood. Ernie, thank you very much. You bring up a very good point. The short shelf life of all these scandals, if you will. Thank you very much for your call. Appreciate that, sir. Let's go to that on with you, Tom. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com, Look Ahead Radio. You've got here...
I did interject there, Lockwood. You know, tell that to Richard Nixon.
But wait a second. Richard Nixon didn't undergo the scrutiny that this president has been through. And interestingly enough, and of course, we're going to get into this issue for the president here. A lot of Europeans think the beginning of the end of Trump is beginning. Where is that? We've been hearing that now for months, if not years. I think Ernie Gary brings up a very good point.
I think the big thing was... Cohen pleading guilty and basically naming Trump as a co-conspirator.
Over the past week, and you may not be fully privy to this because you may be a day or two behind in this news cycle, although I've questioned that because you have news quite often as timely as ours. But now his attorney, Lanny Davis, is running around saying, well, in fact, he misspoke when he was the secret source, the unnamed source for disclosure that the president, then a candidate, Donald Trump, was very aware of the Russian connection and particularly the meeting in Trump Towers. And now Lanny Davis is saying, no, he misspoke, that his client, Mr. Cohen, did not have any knowledge of this meeting in advance and did not know that the president had any.
No, that's not what I'm referring to.
Okay.
I'm referring to the election laws.
Oh.
Which is a felony offense.
Well, there's some question as to whether or not any election laws have been broken.
Well, of course, it's a matter of the court to decide.
Wait a second.
I'm just saying
no charges.
He's been named as an unindicted co-conspirator, and the Cohen has pleaded guilty.
Who is where do you see this? He has been named. This is not.
He has not. I said basically been named. The name of Donald Trump has not been mentioned. Just that he acted on behalf of a federally elected official.
All right. Here's
that could have been Mike Pence. You're right.
Wait a second.
It could have been some senator.
Well, but Tom,
he did not name Donald Trump by name.
But Tom,
the other only one that we know of that he has worked with is Donald Trump.
But Tom, the other aspect of this is there's question as to whether this qualifies as a federal offense, and we're talking about other situations.
Why would he plead guilty to something which isn't an offense?
Well, there's a lot of questions associated with that. General Flynn's the same question in the case of Michael Cohen, the real focus is on his own personal activities. I'm just curious, but I don't want to belabor this. I don't want to debate it with you. But how much of this is really being covered? All the details with Michael Cohen?
All the details.
Okay.
It's been covered ad nauseum. You know, it's the Daily Trump Show.
Oh, really?
Okay. He really is covered in great detail.
Is this covering up?
Throughout the world. You read it in the Japanese press. You read it in the Israeli press. You read it in the Russian press. Well, not so much in the Russian press. They're very pro-Trump, and controlled by the government there largely.
Here's a quick. Another question. Is there any coverage of the disclosure now that in fact the Chinese were hacking into then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's computer? Has there been any coverage of that by any chance?
Yes, that's been mentioned. That's been mentioned. I think when I say that they talk about the beginning of the end of Trump is beginning, I think everyone is waiting for the midterm elections because.
Okay. Okay.
They realize that impeachment is a political process more than a judicial process.
Right.
And that in order for Trump to be impeached, the Democrats have to win control of the House of Representatives and have possibly a majority, but not necessarily a majority, in the Senate.
Okay. Now,
they think that if they do well enough, if the Democrats do well enough in the midterm elections, that the Republicans in the Senate will fear for their jobs and turn against Trump. But at the moment, they're not turning against Trump because the economy is doing well and Trump is still riding high in the Republican polls.
Okay. I'm looking at this, getting a note here related to your comment as perceived as an unindicted co-conspirator. Okay. Tom, the other question... Obviously, the events in the U.S., are they really consuming that much of the news cycle there in the European community and around the world?
Yes, I can't help but repeat what I say almost every week, and that is that everyone looks to the United States to provide a moral lead. It relies on the states for trade. You are more than 25% of the world economy. All these things make what's happening in America extremely important to the rest of the world.
Okay. Speaking of the economy, we've got another caller standing by. The fact that, and by the way, you may not have seen this, it was announced today that the second quarter was looking significantly higher than anticipated. Originally, it's now 4.2% GDP. the fact that the U.S. has now instituted, as late as yesterday afternoon, if I'm not mistaken, a relationship now with Mexico, and there's some question as to whether or not Canada may rejoin the NAFTA agreement, but with a different flavor and structure. What, again, is the opinion of the European community related to trade with the United States?
Well, you know, they've just reached an agreement with them on tariffs, so they're quite happy at the moment.
Okay.
So, you know, they want to have, and they do have, a good trading relationship with the United States. The biggest problem at the moment is, of course, Iran,
right?
Which is a huge problem. I should point out that the British government at the moment is in talks with the Japanese about how to circumvent the Iranian sanctions. The Japanese are particularly good at circumventing American sanctions against Iran. I don't know if they've got particularly good lawyers or what it is, but there's a trade delegation, a British trade delegation in Japan at the moment, talking to them, seeing if they can learn about how to get around the Trump sanctions against Iran.
Okay. We're going to get back to that in a moment. Let's go to another caller standing by, Gary in Oriental. Gary, before I go to the break. Yes, sir.
Tom, I have a quick question. Who are
Hi,
they?
Gary.
Are they on the left? Are they on the right? Or are you unbiased? I'm just curious.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you. You're Tom.
I am a member of a political party. It's a centrist party called the Liberal Democrats. So I'm not a conservative, although I have been in the past. I'd move more or less to the center. I like to think that when I am talking to Lockwood about opinion here in Europe, that I'm reporting what the mainstream, the center ground, which is usually the mainstream, is thinking, and what the center ground press is saying.
So my question is, why is it that England, according to what you're telling us, are so on board with Trump failing? I mean, do they not realize what the United States is going to do for their economy? I mean, our GDP is up to 4.2% right now.
Well,
we've got a labor shortage in this country.
Yeah, no.
I mean, why does England want our president to fail so bad? What is the big fascination? I'm really curious.
They don't want your president to fail. They want America to succeed. And they think that Trump will eventually lead to American failure. And it's a nuanced distinction, I know. But they think that because Trump, or they perceive Trump as, and I'm telling what the newspapers hear, as misogynist, racist, and basically dishonest.
I got a quick question.
But all these things will eventually come out.
The CNN or the MSNBC of America, they actually have no facts. It's all based on hearsay and by drive-by media. Well, correct me if I'm wrong.
But wait a second, Gary. Their source is U.S. media as well. So
that explains it.
It's amplification. Thank you very much, Gary. I got to go to a break. But that, you bring up a really quick good point. I've got to bring up a question to him. I recognizing that the Europeans are seeing President Trump in such a horrible light, I'm curious how they see the leaders of Iran, Russia, Saudi Arabia. How do they see those leaders? We'll find out about that in just a moment here on Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment.
Observations of an Expat by Tom Arms from LookAheadNews.com. Deep in the bowels of the White House, Jared Kushner, husband of first daughter Ivanka, son-in-law of President Donald Trump, new best friend of Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, and mini property tycoon, is beavering away on a break and remake for the Arab-Israeli conflict. The results of his efforts are expected to soon be unveiled with Trumpian hyperbole in the most detailed peace plan ever. The particulars are a closely guarded secret, but the White House sieve has leaked. And, surprise, surprise, the Israelis are delighted and the Palestinians are wretchedly disconsolate.
At the heart of what Trump officials are calling the deal of the century is a plan to strip 5 million Palestinians of their refugee status. This leaves a much more manageable 500,000. It also provides a statistical justification for the cut in U.S. aid to the Palestinians. Last week, another $200 million was slashed on top of other reductions. The thinking is simple. If the number of refugees has been cut by 90%, then the remaining 500,000 don't need as much money. It is a brilliant piece of accountancy logic that is truly worthy of the Trump administration's penchant for life and death policy decisions based on alternative facts. At the moment, Palestinian refugees come under the protective wing of the United Nations Relief and Works Agency. Different national governments contribute to its coffers, and the UNRWA ensures that the money is spent wisely. In 2017, this meant schools for 500,000 children, medical facilities for 3.1 million, and 437,000 small business loans. The total spent last year was just over $1 billion, of which $369 million came from Washington. Most of the rest, $432 million, came from European countries. Then came Trump's decision to cut foreign aid overall, quickly followed by the furore over his recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and the Palestinian Authority's decision to break off relations with Washington. A furious Trump pulled out the financial scissors and cut, cut, cut! It is not yet clear exactly how much American money will go to the UNRWA this year, but most experts reckon it will be down at least 75% to approximately $65 million. UN Ambassador Nikki Haley is reported to have wanted it axed altogether, but was overruled by Defense Secretary James Mattis and former Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, who were concerned about the impact on key regional ally Jordan. Other countries are trying to plug the gap. The European Commission has upped its annual contribution by $53 million and Germany by $28.8 million. Other European countries plan to follow suit. Trump has said that it's time for other countries to pay more, but the sudden appearance of a $300 million hole is difficult to fill. The UNRWA has warned that the result will be dire humanitarian consequences. But, at the risk of repeating myself, the money would stretch much further if it was required for only 10% of the current number of refugees. Exactly where the 500,000 figure comes from is unclear. It could relate to the original number of Palestinians forced out in 1948 during the creation of the State of Israel. The UNRWA says that the figure is 5.5 million, with 1.3 million in 8 UN-administered camps in Gaza, 525,000 in Syria without citizenship rights, 800,000 in overcrowded West Bank camps, 2 million in 10 UNRWA camps in Jordan, 450,000 denied public services in Lebanon, and 50,000 without residency rights in Egypt. Jared Kushner recently wrote in a leaked email, "Sometimes you have to strategically risk breaking things." Well, breaking things is what the Trump administration is good at.
We now return to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio is normally out of sync with us tonight. We are doing the program live, and I really appreciate him taking the time to stay up late. As a matter of fact, it's some 5 hours ahead of us right now, so it's 10:35 his time there in London, England. And you know, Tom, we were talking about leadership and around the world. I want to move on to other items, though. I think there are a variety of items we have on this list that really deserve some discussion with this last 20 minutes or so of time. Let's talk. We talked briefly about the economy. Brexit latest you've got here. Mrs. May beating the drum in Africa. Macron saying her, that is President Macron, Emmanuel Macron of France, saying her proposal is unworkable. Most people think we are heading for a no-deal solution. What's the status of Brexit at this point? And, of course, this plays a big role in the European economy as well.
It does. It will have an impact on the European economy. It will have a bigger impact on the British economy than on the European, probably four times greater, they estimate. And according to the Treasury, the British Treasury, if there is no deal Brexit, the economy will sink, will shrink by about 1% a year for the next 10 to 15 years. That is their estimate. Mrs. May is currently in Africa. She's in South Africa, Nigeria, and Kenya. She's been seen on television dancing with school children. Her visit there is meant to drum up trade to try and replace any lost trade with the EU. Of course, the South African, Nigerian, and Kenyan economies are nowhere near as big as anything in Europe. She's trying to revive the Commonwealth and trading links with the Commonwealth.
Okay, I want to interrupt
as part of a Brexit withdrawal.
All right, I want to interrupt real quickly on this issue. You mentioned South Africa, and we're watching with interest here in the States about the redistribution of land in South Africa. How is that being covered in the European community, and how serious is this? Does the European community see this? Because South Africa once, of course, was a colony. So what's the opinion and story on South Africa since she's there?
Well, it's not being covered in great depth here. It is being referred to. I think it's generally been regarded that there has to be some sort of redistribution of land in South Africa, that it has always been a problem for the indigenous black community, the fact that so much land was taken from them, and they were left with the crumbs, the leftovers.
Okay. So, all right. So, but we're getting a little bit more coverage here from the perspective of, quite frankly, deaths in South Africa. We're getting bits and pieces of it. I've got to move on because there are several other items here that are really pretty poignant. And they both have to do with the issue of the asylum seekers. And let me start with, we're going down this list, Swedish elections coming up with anti-immigration party surging. So the issue of immigration and asylum.
This is big. This is big. Sweden has always been regarded as possibly the most tolerant and open of societies in Europe. The Social Democrats, the center-left Social Democrats, have been in power there since 1917.
Wow.
That's 100 years.
Right.
And they basically had the same open-door policy that Angela Merkel had. When the Germans admitted 1 million refugees in 2015, the Swedes admitted 267,000. And the Swedish population is a lot smaller than the German.
Right. And so this has created a problem for Sweden, I gather.
Yeah, it has created a problem for Sweden. And it's created opportunity for the alt-right or far-right party, the Sweden Democrats, who at the moment are running about 20% in the polls. That is high in Sweden. I mean, they have a proportional representation system.
Okay, that's an indication of what we've been talking about for quite some time on this issue of the asylum seekers and the immigrants. Well, let's move to Italy. Italy immigration minister under attack?
Yeah, now he's under attack. This is Matteo Salvini, who's the head of the League Party, and he's been leading the charge against immigrants coming into Italy. And so he, for instance, has been stopping boats and redirecting them to Spain and Malta and different other places. In one case, he forced one boat filled with women and children to just sit in the port without food and water for 10 days. And so a local magistrate has had him charged with kidnapping, illegal arrest, and abuse of office.
Wow.
Now, of course, this won't amount to anything. It's more of a political gesture than anything else.
But
it won't amount to anything because he has parliamentary immunity.
Right. But there's one aspect of this related to the immigration issue, and you've shared this with us in the past. And I think this is important. Of course, once the immigrants are allowed into Italy, Spain, these countries of entry, they have access and, correct me if I'm wrong, free rein to move about the European Union. Am I correct on that?
Yes.
Okay, but there is one caveat. If, in fact, we have immigrants from who are in Sweden and the Swedes would like those immigrants returned, they're returned to their country, quote, of origin. And I use air quotes on the word origin, meaning Italy, Spain.
Embarkation.
And if that's a big problem for Italy, is it not?
It is. And they are insisting that they're not going to let any of these immigrants into Italy.
Right.
Or they're going to be proved as difficult as possible until the EU sorts out a system for basically taking some of them off their hands.
How close are we to that? Is there a diligent effort in that regard at this point?
There is a diligent effort, but the problem is countries like Hungary and Poland who refuse to take any at all.
Right.
Any at all. And also Slovakia. And Hungary, they refuse to take any, and really the agreement needs to be EU-wide.
Uh-huh.
And so as long as these countries are digging in their heels, it's proving a bit difficult.
Well, it just goes to the question, of course, the overall structure of the European Union. You and I have discussed this in the past. It's just one of those issues. All right, let's move to, since you brought up Angela Merkel a few moments ago, race riots in Germany.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, what we had was a German was stabbed by two refugees who had been arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the rumor got out, which the police have since scotched. The rumor got out the man who was stabbed was actually coming to the rescue of a German woman, which appears not to have been true. But, of course, once these rumors take flight,
right.
It's very difficult for them to be stopped. And so the far right in the town of Chemnitz has been rioting and attacking the immigrants. And of course, what has happened is the left has done the same thing, except they're attacking the people who are attacking the immigrants.
Uh-huh.
The immigrants themselves just trying to keep their heads down.
Okay. Oh, I can appreciate that. All right. And then let's talk about this in relationship to immigrants one more time. Asylum seekers in Germany to do community service. Help me out.
Yes. Now, I thought this was very interesting. This is the Germans themselves, until very recently, have had military conscription.
Mm-hmm.
And they've decided that they're going to reintroduce community service or conscription for all young people.
Okay.
And it's going to be debated at the Christian Democratic Union's party meeting in December. But as part of the reintroduction of a sort of conscription stroke community service, all immigrants, all refugees, all asylum seekers, regardless of their age, will have to spend 1 year doing community service, which the Germans think is important for them to integrate with the community.
Yes. Well, I'm intrigued that this is being initiated by the Germans. Is this being done because of the rather sketchy relationship that Angela Merkel has on this whole topic of asylum seekers?
I'm sure that's part of it. I'm sure that's part of it.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break on that one. We're joined, of course, by Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio, Viewpoints Around the World. We've got him live from London. If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, feel free to do so locally. 252 area code 247-7282. That's 247-7282, 910 area code 353-4674. That's 353-4674. More to come. We're going to talk about, the revolving door in the Australian's Prime Minister's office. We have an interesting story on painting pandas. Stay with us here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Before we move to other issues here, just curious, holidays, of course, Labor Day here in the United States, anything similar to that there in the UK or in European communities?
Well, we've just had a Monday holiday.
Ah.
Just this past Monday. August Bank Holiday, it's called.
I'm sorry, what is it again?
August Bank Holiday. It's
okay.
The last Monday in August.
Okay, what's the purpose of the holiday? Just
to give people time off. We have a lot more holidays here. I don't know if we have more bank holidays, as they're called, or public holidays. Might be about the same, or slightly more. But certainly when people have vacation time, they have at least 20 days vacation time every year from the very start of their employment. 20 days minimum.
Wow.
Here in the UK.
Wow.
Now,
I'll tell you what.
Luxembourg,
and
that's in addition to the public holidays. In Luxembourg, it's 30 days. And I should add that Luxembourg has the highest productivity levels in the world.
Well, okay. We'll have to wonder about the productivity issue here. All right, let's move on to items of concern and interest here. Let's talk about I want to start with real quickly the Rohingya genocide. Tell us about this.
Okay. Well, basically, what we've got here is a situation where the Muslims are being attacked by the Buddhists who are in charge. Have the government in Myanmar, also known as Burma,
right?
And the UN has just put out a special report on it, and they said that 10,000 Rohingya civilians have been murdered, and 725,000 have been driven out of their homes in Myanmar.
They've been displaced
and
yes.
into neighboring Bangladesh, which is Muslim.
I'm curious.
And this is basically, they have called it a genocide and have said that the commander of the army and five generals should be put on trial for genocide in the International Criminal Court.
Similar to the events in Czechoslovakia in some regards. Very quickly.
Well, no, in Slovakia.
Slovakia, I'm sorry. Not Czechoslovakia.
Slovenia.
Yeah, Slovenia.
The Balkans.
Yeah. Bosnia-Herzegovina. And I apologize.
Serbia.
Yeah. I need to correct that last. Slovakia. Slovakia. And Bosnia. Bosnia-Herzegovina.
So, the Balkans.
Balkans. Yes, thank you. Let's talk about the issue of the revolving door at the Australian PM's office.
Yeah, you know, it's gotten so bad. There's been like six prime ministers. Malcolm Turnbull has just resigned.
Right.
And there's been like six prime ministers in 6 years. It's gotten so bad that Madame Tussauds has announced that they are not going to be putting up any more mannequins, wax mannequins
for Australia.
Of Australian prime ministers, because it takes too long, and by the time they've completed it, there's a new prime minister.
What's going on in Australia? I read about this story this weekend. As a matter of fact, the Labor Party, I'm sorry, was it the Labor Party?
The Liberal Party, which is really the Conservative Party,
right.
has basically had a meeting and decided they no longer want Malcolm Turnbull as their leader, and he has resigned. And of course, because it's a parliamentary system where the leader of the largest party is also the prime minister, he has to resign as prime minister.
Okay. And the other interesting thing is one of the disputes was over his approach to green energy, if I read that correctly.
Yes. Yes, he's a bit of a climate denier.
Right.
I thought he was definitely very much bought
into the issue of global climate change.
I don't think so. I think it's the other way around.
Oh.
And also there's a problem with immigration. They don't like his immigration policies either.
Right. It just struck me as a conservative, and you're right. It's the Liberal Party, but it's conservative, which most liberals are. I'm sorry, a true conservative is a liberal for all intents and purposes. But
a true liberal is a conservative.
That requires a little.
We'll go around and say.
Yeah, Ross just had a brain explosion. Okay, let's wrap it up with painting panda.
Yes, Yang Yang. Okay. In the Vienna Zoo, after she gave birth, discovered that she could handle a paintbrush. Yang Yang, the painting panda. And so she can grab the paintbrush, much the same as a bamboo shoot. They dip it into to paint. They hold up the canvas, and she splashes away, creating, well, artwork, shall we
art.
Say.
Yes, art. I'm
Jason
curious.
Jason Pollock type artwork, but they sell it.
That's what I'm wondering. And probably for...
$560 ago. And you get a little certificate saying, authentic Yang Yang painting.
My question
money
is...
Money is going to build a new enclosure for the pandas.
Okay.
And whatever is left over goes for enclosures for other animals at the Vienna Zoo. So it's going for a good cause. And Yang Yang has been impressed into painting slave labor.
Exactly my thought. And I'm thinking here, do you have a comparable organization? Or, well, I say you. This is... Where's the...
Free the pandas.
Well, I'm thinking PETA. People eating tasty... I'm sorry. People for ethical treatment of animals. Is this considered ethical treatment?
I think so. Yeah, whenever they... It looks like she's smiling when she's painting.
Oh, okay. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Tom, as we wrap it up this afternoon, and I thank you for being with us live from your office there in London. Anything much happening next week? Very quickly, any big events? Any big...
Well, you know, sort of ongoing events, I suppose. You know, we're always interested in what's happening in the White House.
Right. And so is everybody else.
And Brexit will always hit the headlines here as well.
Okay.
And my thanks, by the way, to Ernie and Gary. Thanks for phoning in.
Oh, yeah, that was excellent. I appreciate that. And I'm looking forward to conversations with you next week as well. I just want to remind folks, we really enjoy having Tom Arms joining us, especially at this late hour of the day. It's going on towards almost 11 o'clock, and I'm sure that he's ready for bedtime. Tom, very best to you. Thanks for your time this evening.
Thank you, Lockwood.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio.
Look Ahead Radio is a production of The Talk Station.